Shlomo, thank you so much for joining me on the Let's Talk Business podcast.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Finally, I think if I go back, when we originally scheduled this was a couple of months ago, and then we rescheduled it, and then finally I got you in person. I said, you know, we got to make this happen. And you said, you know what? Let your assistant speak to my assistant. Let them figure it out, and we'll make it happen. And a week later, here we are. So I'm happy for systems and processes in place. Well, let me get into the conversation. I think there's so much to talk about. The first question is, you started off as an agent and eventually became the visionary of Imperial. Of course, I'm using the word visionary, and we'll talk about it a little later. Is real estate something for which you have always had a passion, or did you fall into this space by chance?
Wow. So first of all, yeah, thank you, Manny. And it's true that we met in person and we scheduled right then and there in a way of a system and a process. And this just again proves how system and processes, they don't take away, they actually add, they improve, they embedder. And they're great when done right. And it's a pleasure really talking to you. I know this sounds formal and official, but I don't mean it as such. We know there, you know, here and there, and always it's always there's always more. Always leaving the conversation with you leaves me with more depth than just the time that was in the conversation, which I really appreciate. So thank you.
I appreciate it. All I will just respond to that is that I think by the end of this conversation, it's going to leave all our listeners with a lot of knowledge, hopefully.
I hope so. I
absolutely.
I'll only share what I can, and take it for whatever it's worth.
Exactly. So let's get into real estate. Obviously, at this point, you're the visionary of Imperial. I just want to get the backstory for our listeners, for those who don't know you. Like, how did you get started in this?
Sure. So your question is a great question, and something that I've contemplated with myself. Is this something that I really have a passion for? Is it something that I just fell into? And I think that it's not a contradiction. It's actually both. it's important because I think that this, I don't want to get too deep with this, but I believe that many times we get confused when we ask ourselves a question and we say it has to be either or. And no, not necessarily. It could be both. And with the understanding of how they work out together, we can really grow a lot further, a lot deeper, and a lot bigger. I live in Lakewood, New Jersey, and I came here to yeshiva. That's where I came back after being in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel. I came to be here in BMG. And, you know, when I got engaged, as my friends were talking about staying here, it wasn't the style as it is today. And I said, you know, I never really liked Brooklyn. I never really liked the city. I liked it here. I said, okay, I'll stay in yeshiva over here. I think it's a great idea. I stayed. And a couple of years later, when my family started growing and I needed to support my family, somehow I was actually going to do development in Philadelphia. That's what I thought there was a need for at the time. It was 2005. I was looking into that. And before I knew it, the market crashed and there was nothing doing. And at that point, I was discussing it with my partner, a previous broker, then friend, acquaintance, and I said, maybe let's do something together. When that didn't work out, he said, listen, I have a brokerage firm. Why don't you become an agent, get your license, become an agent? I said, really, sales? That's really not what I want to do. But there was nothing else going on. I said, let me give it a shot. So I kind of fell into it to a certain extent, but you don't really fall into anything. Nothing is really a coincidence. And my mother always tells me, and then my wife tells me, that even when we got married, anytime I would pass a property, I would mention, oh, wow, this could be this, this could be that. So there's something that I did have with real estate itself. But going deeper into this, I don't think really it's about real estate. Just like I'm sure you there's no one probably knows this better than you, as far as doing marketing, that we need to know more than what it is that what we do and what our niche is, what our real purpose is, what our real passion is, what's the real why behind what we do. And I looked into that from an early stage, and it develops obviously as you go on. And for me, it's pretty clear that it's not about real estate at all. It's about I like and I get satisfaction from extracting potential from within and seeing how it plays itself out and how it happens. So if my niche happens to be real estate, I like to see it with properties. I like to see it with a sale that it could bring to maximize what it has within. The same carries over to potential of land in development. But it really is much wider than that, much deeper than that. It's the people itself. Human beings have so much potential within them that could be realized if they have the right assistance and they're made aware and they get that mindset and that belief, that encouragement, and they're willing to do what needs to be done. So much could be realized. And that really gives me the greatest satisfaction. And I think that through my journey, that's what has led me to, from being a salesperson to sellers and buyers and helping them realize their potential, carried itself over to creating a team and bringing in other people to do what I felt could be done within this industry that I'm in, and turned them successful, which later I became a broker. I became a partner with my broker in Imperial Real Estate. And, I'm involved in other businesses as well. And it's all the same thing. I believe very strongly that there's so much potential. There's so much opportunity in people. And I don't want to sound negative, but unfortunately, like with everything else, there are certain things that hold people back from allowing and enabling that potential to come out within themselves and within the others around them. And if we can just take one step to improve that a little bit, I think so much more could be done. And that's really what I'd love to do.
Sure. So thank you so much for that. I think you opened up the conversation, because I want to focus most of this episode on this topic, and there's a lot to be shared. And hopefully this conversation will be an eye opener for some of our listeners. I just want to go back to one point, and then we'll dive back to this conversation, which is at the moment, you're the leader of Imperial, you know, obviously, and the title in the world of titles, it would be CEO. Now it's more of a visionary. Is there something behind it by you calling yourself visionary of Imperial versus the CEO of Imperial?
Yes, there most definitely is. And thank you for zooming into that and noticing that. Mm-hmm. I never felt comfortable being a boss, something that I don't feel comfortable even today. It's just not my personality. It's just not something maybe that I grew up with. I don't come from a background of business people, of owners of businesses. My father was an employee and chose to be so. He was a very brilliant man, Zichron Levluche, brilliant and charismatic and just a good person. I was very, very close with him. But he chose not to be a business owner, and he was ordained to be a Ruv at 18 years old, but chose not to do that. He just wanted to be a simple person. So although my mother did dabble in business, but not one on a scale with employees, I wasn't brought up with that structure. Mm-hmm. And somehow I didn't relate to it in a positive way. I felt like there's a certain, telling other people what to do and expecting from other people. It's not something that I felt comfortable with at all. And as I took on people, I always saw them as, I wouldn't say partners, but I would say as a team, as we're working together, and we each perhaps have different roles. And maybe it's within my role to hold others accountable for their benefit. But I see myself as an employee in the organization, just like them. And I have my job, and I could be fired from the organization as well. And you know what? Not be fired. I should be firing myself if I'm not doing my job. So it is for that reason that I didn't feel comfortable with titles in general, but I found that it's important to have titles for clarity, so that people know. But the hierarchy and that whole kind of setting in, you know, corporate America, I didn't feel comfortable with it. I understand the importance of parts of it, and I run the organization now with that. But really, I feel much more comfortable with not a title, but with an understanding of what it is that my obligation in the organization is. And right now, it is to be the visionary, which means in very simple ways for those who, it's an EOS term. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I'm We do run with EOS, which is a topic on its own. I don't want to get off on that. But the visionary, really, their job is the growth of the company, bringing it, being the creative spirit behind the organization to constantly grow, including in that is obviously thinking constantly of new ideas, solving big problems, creating big relationships. So it's all in the matter of growth, which requires creativity, which requires the ability not to get stuck on limitations, on the small and on the detail, and thinking big. There's a lot of danger in that. And that's why you need to work along and get an understanding with people that have the opposite strength so you can get the right balance.
You mentioned the word EOS. Obviously, we also run on EOS. And I have to mention that for those who are interested in EOS, we had Gina Wickman, which is the founder of EOS, and Mike Payton, which was at one point the integrator of EOS, both of them on this show. So if you want to have phenomenal, you know, you want to listen to phenomenal episodes, you could go back and listen to those two episodes. But I think what you mentioned is so important, because gone are the days where somebody would say, I'm working towards getting an SVP next to my title. At one point, as you mentioned, yes, from an org chart perspective, from organization or chart perspective, you got to know like the hierarchy, how those responsibilities stack up. But we're living in a world that, for clarity purposes, we want to know, what am I responsible for? So when you're going to see when you have the title CEO, it's basically just telling you this is an entitlement title, just because maybe I'm the founder, maybe I was hired to be the CEO. When you're saying that you're the visionary, basically you're saying, this is my responsibility. And every day you could tell it to yourself, where is your focus? You know, because I have the title visionary, did I cast vision? Was I planning for what's happening? Was I coming up, what's going to be with the next phase of our organization, and so on and so forth? So I think moving from titles to responsibilities not only adds to the clarity, it also holds the person accountable. If you're the visionary, or if you're the integrator, where's your integration between those two parties? And if they can't get along, where are you in the process? So I think people are starting to recognize it and seeing the value of it. And I don't think it's about feeling comfortable being boss or not. Sometimes it is the fact. But it's, now that I am the boss, what is my responsibility for the organization? And I think you mentioned something so valuable. I remember I was at a large company. I think they're now over $150 million organization. And it was a time where three or four of the C-level executives were let go. And the CEO spoke to partners, not to all their customers, but some of their partners. And they said the following: we'll forever be grateful for those people, because we wouldn't have been here without those people. But where the organization is going, we figure we need to bring in other people. And he then turned around and he said, if I won't continue doing my job, next year you might come to an event and I'm also replaced. So that's why I wake up every single day understanding what my responsibility is. And I'm personally growing myself in order to be able to grow the organization, which is another point that we'll talk about it a little later. So I just appreciate the way you explained it, because for our listeners, sometimes people say, oh, I didn't get that promotion. You should understand, a promotion is an additional responsibility. And you got to know, am I up to it, versus the title on a business card?
Well, you got my brain racing because you said a lot of important points. But the one that stands out is there is a problem. There is a problem. And the problem is that with hierarchy, people feel belittled. They don't feel that they're doing what they can. They feel like they're not having their full rights, their full potential. And that's a big problem. And that's why the world is fighting that. But there's an opposite problem as well, that if we go with the philosophy, the school of thought, that everybody is equal and everybody could do whatever they want, you really can't do, you can't really grow. There's no accountability. There's no clarity on who you're reporting what to and who's responsible for what. And I think that direction is dangerous, because and we see it, that people are focused on their rights and they forget about their obligations. Rights come with obligations. We have to figure out a way how we can live with both. And I think the key to that is communication. I really think the key to that is communication. When people understand that they're able, everybody can live up to their full potential, and everybody is okay with that, no one is trying to limit anybody else, then they can be okay with saying what they don't want and what they don't like and what they can't do, and they don't have that fear. And then you can have a real clear, like Patrick Lencioni says, a vulnerability-based trust that allows for real communication, that allows for real teamwork, that allows for real results, as we know that from Patrick, which I think a lot of Gina Wickman is based on that. But I think that's really the key. That's really the key. Communication, clear communication, because it sounds cute and cozy to say there is no boss and we're all in this together. And it's very nice, but it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work. There is accountability, but the accountability has to be in a form of clear communication based on a trust that's real. People are going to be transparent. And yes, a lot of that is based, instead of focusing on the title, which is entitlement, focusing on responsibility, which is obligations, and on all sides. So when I come into a meeting, we formed and we worked on this, that although I am the so-called boss, because I'm the owner, I can make the decisions, we don't operate like that. We operate where I am an employee as well. I have obligations. I have to hold myself accountable, and others need to hold me accountable as well. I know it sounds maybe utopic and theoretic and in the abstract, but it really isn't. It really isn't. You could work like that. I think it's the only way of working well. And this carries over not only in the business world, it carries over in all relationships and in all areas that we need to work together. And obviously the relationship of all relationships between husband and wife, between parents and their kids. You can't, of course, we're all equal as human beings, but we need to understand of what we're working towards in the greater good, how do we need to operate? And when there is that clear communication, that really transparent communication, where we can be vulnerable and we can be real, we can trust each other, we can communicate and we can grow. And I would love to have, if I can, and if I can be used as a tool within the higher power, which is the Ribono Shel Olam, to bring this to have some impact in furthering this for the better, that would be my schiz.
Very cool. There's something that I've heard it from you in the past, which is one of the events that you spoke, which it was some people fail to communicate with themselves. Now that we spoke about communication, explain to our listeners what you mean with communicating with themselves.
Wow. You touched a deep chord. To some, it's like the blues. But it doesn't have to be. It's actually a very happy chord. Mm-hmm. So I think that anything external is like almost like a manifestation of the internal. Sounds deep, but it's pretty simple. When you see, we have a system, an internal system within us. We have a brain, we have emotions, and then we have the ability to do activities. And there has to be, in the system of the brain, obviously the thoughts have to be aligned, they have to be clear. In the system of the emotions, they have to be healthy and well. But there also has to be a good communication between the thoughts and the emotions, and then a good communication between the emotions and the part that allows us to do the activities. When that flow is clear, when we are wholesome within ourselves, we have those fears, we can then communicate externally properly. Many times the external communication isn't well and we get stuck is because internally we are stuck. And that's why there's so much focus on the mindset. Because when we have the proper mindset, and when we then work introspectively of what we need to elevate within ourselves, we can then grow externally. We then all of a sudden, you know, healthy communication gravitates towards us. Good relationships are formed, and great things happen.
Mm-hmm. And so that's something that you feel is coming from where? Like, why are people not seeing their potential?
Well, when we're stuck, then we fall into despair. You know, yes, I it was actually at that sales seminar where we met and scheduled this call, is that I asked the audience the question, what do they think the greatest distraction is? You know, because we're all distracted all the time from doing what we want to do. And as we know, there's a lot of talk now about healing and a lot of talk about the inner child and a lot of talk about that. And it sounds very fuzzy, but of course it's true. And that is that when we're born with a lot of good and a lot of hope and a lot of dreams. And as we go through experiences and we fail, we start believing that we can't. And I think that's the greatest distraction. The greatest distraction is the feeling of hopelessness, the feeling of failure, the feeling of being stuck, the feeling of despair. And need to get away from that. Connect to people that are positive and cut away people that are negative. We need to connect to people that are bigger thinkers. So when we attach to that, we then can see from within ourselves, we have that hope, and we allow ourselves to get past the areas of where we feel stuck.
Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to what we spoke before about that one of the things that you love about what you're doing as a leader and ultimately as a mission in life is to help people realize the unrealized potential. You know, it reminds me, I do this numerous times at events. I've done it just even last week. Actually, this week, Monday, I spoke at an event and I speak about this topic and I say, you know, I tell the audience, raise your right hand to the highest possible. And everybody picks up their right hand. And then I say, a little higher. And somehow everybody was able to raise their hand a little higher. And then I say, what just happened? I told you when I explained what to do, the highest possible, which means in definition means the highest possible. And then I said a little higher and everybody had more in themselves. And I actually use this to illustrate that everybody has more potential than they think they can, has more opportunity than they think they can, and ultimately have so much more potential than they think they have. And it's just a visual illustration of that, because and the person says, yeah, you know what? You got me. Yes, you told me the first time. And I think I remember at one point I was a guest on a different podcast and they asked me like if there's one thing I could change in the world, so to speak, at the end, like what would it be? Something along those lines. And I said, helping people realize their potential, because in the workforce, I see so many times when somebody would start off in a cubicle and maybe a low pay job, just as an entry level job. Let's not even call it low pay, just an entry level job. And all of a sudden, 5 years later, they're almost in the same position and they're not given the opportunity. And I say it in a way of leaders. Figure out who in your organization could be your next biggest, you know, A player or the biggest asset to the company that might reinvent your services, your products, your offerings, the way you do business, or maybe even start a new company on the side for you, you know, stuff like that. And so much of that, of those potentials are just being shallowed with negativity or just no opportunity to shine and to rise. And I think it comes to a point where it comes from both sides. It is the leaders, they sometimes have to just find those opportunities and actually get them, give them the spotlight, so to speak, in a way to shine. But sometimes it's the inner self of a person that says, you know, a lack of self-confidence, lack of you know, maybe fear that's in the way. So I want to go there, and I want to spend most of the rest of the conversation on that, because I think if somebody listening to this could go away being a better person or think about themselves with a little bit better, more than they thought before listening to this, I think it's worth every episode I've done up until today. So let's dissect it, you know, and I want to go with some actionable practical tips as far as how to go there. I know I gave you this long intro to this, but really the question to you is, first of all, whose responsibility is it? It's the leader or that person sitting there in that chair and saying, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not reaching my full potential. I want more. So where do we start on that conversation?
Wow. Great. So I actually, as you know, shared your thoughts that I was thinking to myself, we spoke about what got me to where, or the history of where I got to. We spoke about potential. We spoke about what holds that back. And those were nice things, but we need to get practical. So if the audience that we didn't lose that is still here, let's get practical. Let's get very, very practical. But in order to get practical, we have to make this point, and we have to understand this. There is no way that we're making any change in anything if we don't understand what is the cause behind our lack of doing it till now, and what it is that we need to do in order to really change that. If we have a tendency to come late to meetings just because we're going to make a full commitment that we're going to in the future come on time, it's not going to change anything. We need to figure out what is causing me to come late. Where in its core do I need to make a change? That's extremely important. And that's why we speak about mindset, so that we can get to the practical things of what we need to do. So I think that in order for one to grow, they need to kind of buy in to certain fundamental beliefs. That without that, they're going to get stuck time and again. So I'm going to just say, point back to your question, whose responsibility is it? And I think it's everyone's responsibility. It's not the leader's responsibility that takes away the responsibility of everyone on the team. And it's not everyone on the team's responsibility that takes away the responsibility of the leader. Everyone has a responsibility, and everyone should try to say, I think it's Abraham Lincoln or whoever, that's, what can I do? Think, what can I do for my country? Not what my country could do for me. And it's much deeper than just the country. It's for our own lives. Let's not take the attitude of what do I expect from other people's responsibility? What do I expect from myself, from my own responsibility to be able to reach my own potential? Mm-hmm. So let's get back to mindset. I think that it's extremely important, number one, to understand that we are not limited. We can grow. And this is work that has been done, but I don't remember by who. And we call that the growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. We need to understand that it's okay not to be born talented or great. Things are not either you have it or not. You're lucky or you aren't. No, we can learn and we can grow. And when we understand that, we approach our lack differently. We approach our lack as potential, as opportunity. And that's the number one thing. But I think after that, we need to also believe. With that, we go to the next step, and that is the abundance mindset. We need to understand that there is enough for everyone.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we can all have the same thing at the same time. But if we understand that we're not limited to this specific thing or this specific time for our growth, then we understand that there is enough for everyone and we can all win. And I will soon, in a minute, short minute, say how this translates into the practical way how we operate in business or in general life. The next thing is that we need to understand that the results are not in our control. And therefore, we can't get stuck when we don't get the results that we worked so hard to get. All that is in our control are the activities that enable those results. And that's what we need to focus on.
Yes.
And, or... anything can be spun. And anything that seems negative can be used for a positive, because everything has some positivity in it. And if we focus on that positive part, we can spin the negative into a positive. So I use an acronym for that called GAZ. G for growth, A for abundance, another A, because it's a real GAZ, for activities, and the S for spin. So if we have that GAZ, now we can start working on practical stuff. And it's as follows. You asked early in the conversation, how do we operate on business in a way that we can all operate together? What is holding us back from doing that? And I said it's communication. But the communication is being held back properly because, as we know, the greatest motivator for human beings is what? Fear. And some salespeople really take advantage. We know about scarcity, and we drive people. I shouldn't say we, because it is used. And unfortunately, if it's used for the right things, it really, people can take advantage of people with that, because that's how our human emotion and mind works. We're driven by fears. So when we don't have the growth mindset, we don't have the abundance mindset, we're afraid of losing of what we have. We're afraid of being exposed for our lack. Now, how does this translate in a practical way in business? A boss will not allow themselves to compliment and encourage their employees because they're afraid that they're going to go grow greater than the value that they can give them within the organization. They're afraid of losing them. They're afraid of working with competition because the competition might be greater than them, and then they will be exposed for their lack and they're going to lose. So they hoard what they have. They're not honest and not transparent. And that's how they feel they'll be able to keep what they have. And the same goes for clients. They're not being open and honest and transparent with what they could or cannot do because they don't want to lose those clients. But it doesn't work. In the long term, they're going to lose their employees. They're going to lose to their competition. And they're going to lose to their clients because, as I think, who was it that said that? Shakespeare. You know, you can fool all the people some of the time, some of the people all the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. It ain't going to work. I don't know if that's Shakespeare. Maybe Shakespeare says something else. The whole world is a stage and we're all actors. Maybe that one is Shakespeare. In any case, you know, it doesn't work long term. And even for the time that it does work, it's a miserable life. It's a miserable life, a life of protecting. And it's just not the way we need to work. But when we have the growth mindset, the abundance mindset, it's okay. Because if we're going to encourage our employees, we're going to tell our clients what we can do and what we will try to do better. And the same thing with our competition. It's okay if they know what we do. So what? There is room for me to grow. If there isn't, then I don't deserve being in this business. I don't deserve being in this position. And it's okay, because then I'll be in a position or in a business that is okay for me. If I should be in this business, in this position, work with those clients, I need to elevate. I need to grow. And I can. I could learn. I can grow. Now imagine a life without that fear. Imagine communication without that fear. Imagine what that does to the potential of the clients, the employees, and the work and the collaboration that could be done with competition. How much more potential we can realize within ourselves, and how much potential can we impact to be realized within others?
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I have just one question. Where do we start if we want to improve?
Wow, that's the million-dollar question. I believe we need to engage and we need to stretch our comfort zone. Just like I'm doing today, this is the first podcast that I'm on. And I try to do this all the time to stretch my comfort zone. I don't always win. I have the demons within me and my fears, but I try to fight them to the best of my ability. And we need to engage in conversations that are uncomfortable, exposing areas that we are afraid of. We need to kind of force ourselves to do that, even at the cost of loss, even at the cost of loss. Try encouraging your employees. Try complimenting them. Try putting them in a position where they can grow. try giving them and skills that are greater than what you can give them at this moment for their benefit. Think of the other more than yourself. The same thing with clients. Be real with them at the cost of losing them. The same thing with your competitors. Try to speak to competition and tell them how you do things so that they can improve. If we can think of the other more than of ourselves, that's how we grow.
So how do you, so what, let's say somebody listening to this episode and saying, you know what, I'm guilty on some of it, or I think there's huge potential for me to improve in those areas. So yes, there is fear. You know, something that I share a lot, which is when somebody says, I have fear, the worst thing the therapist could do is to say, no, you don't. Don't have fear. You know, somebody says, I have fear of being public speaking, you know, doing public speaking. No, you shouldn't. Just walk on stage and just pretend it's not there. You know, it would be silly for me to, or any therapist, to say that. The way of approaching it is saying that, yes, you have fear. It's coming from a good place, but let's conquer the fear with something that will just dilute it, you know, slowly but surely, till at one point you say, I don't remember why I had fear in the first place. So I guess my question to you, to go a little bit more deeper in practical, a person listening to this episode and saying, you know what, I think there's room for me to improve. There's room for me to grow. I want to do this for myself. I want to do this for my team. I want to start a healthy relationship and improve our environment. What would be some practical daily activities? You mentioned before part of the A's and the G's. What would be like daily activities that they could start getting into a ritual as far as this is what we're doing on a regular basis for the reasons, the right reasons, as we mentioned before, because we want to improve our communication. We want to improve the way that our vulnerability and our lack of, you know, our fear that we have, and try to bring it up, try to conquer that, so to speak.
Great. So I believe that the first thing is meeting the people that you are in touch with them one-on-one and asking them questions. And at the end of the conversation, rate yourself how much you were willing to listen to them and make yourself aware of areas where you're going wrong. Rate yourself for what you think, and it's an exercise. That is the first step. The second step is admitting it to them and say, yes, I might be wrong. And I'm gonna try to improve. I might not be the best, and it might not happen overnight. That is an exercise, I think, will lead towards doing the activities that need to be done for growth, for improvement, and for realizing everyone's potential and having a win-win. Now, going back, that is the answer to the practical activities. But going back to what you mentioned, and you're absolutely right, you can't fight fears by just saying it doesn't exist. They do exist. They are real. And we need to validate that. But then we need to go and do what's, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist, I'm just a simple, I don't know what you're going to call me, just a simple human being. But I do read a lot. So from what I understand, there is something called exposure therapy that they deal with anxiety. And that's taking a person to the worst case scenario. It's almost like taking a child that has a nightmare and taking them to that place and opening up the light so that they see that there's really nothing there. So it goes through an exposure stage, phase. And I think the same thing is, that's how we need to deal with our fears. Yes, we are scared. It is very scary. We validate that. I know it sounds mushy and therapeutic, but you could do it in your style. If you're a thinker and not a feeler, you do it in a logical way. And we say, okay, yes, I am afraid. But now let's think, what's going to happen? What am I afraid of? Okay. And if that's going to happen, so what's going to happen after that? And when you get to the worst case scenario, you sometimes realize, okay, you know what? If I have to start again, I'll start again. And it's okay. Believing in our real potential, not in what we built up till now, and then we have to hold on to it with all its problems. We start realizing that we can get past that and we can really grow. So back to the practical part, I think that yes, expose yourself to those conversations with your employees, with the members of your team, with your clients, and even with your competition, and just ask them questions and rate yourself every single day after that conversation. If it's not daily, it could be weekly, whatever it is that you set up, you schedule it, do it. Yes, it will take some pushing of yourself to do that. It is scary. But if you realize what potential you can get out of it, it motivates you to do something that is a little bit scary. And as you do it and as you rate yourself, magic happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to, just a practical story that I had a couple of years ago at one of my kids. I would live on the fifth floor, and obviously you have to take the elevator. And I had one of my younger kids, for some reason, one minute to the next, they stopped. They were afraid of using the elevator. And they were, even the whole family went into the elevator. This child took the stairs. And, you know, obviously they had some sort of fear. Twice a kid in the building got stuck, and that involved into a fear. And I remember speaking to somebody smart, and he told me the following. He says, you know what? Don't try to conquer the fear. The fear is right. It's coming from the right place. It's not like it just they had a scary dream. And you have to figure out a way to do something that automatically the fear will disappear. So one day I came home and I said to this kid that, you know what? Understand you have the reason where the fear is coming from. I'm going to give you, for the next 30 days, every time you use the elevator, I'll give you $1. And by 30 days, if you do it a lot, you're going to be able to buy a nice, nice gift in the toy store. And I didn't mention how many times, when, and how. So a day later comes by, and my son asks me, if I go with the family, I also get the dollar? I said, absolutely. If I go alone, so he started making his own cheshbonah, so to speak, his own plans of how he's going to start accumulating those dollars. 5 days later, I didn't even have to give the dollar. He forgot even to count, and he was using the elevator ever since. And it comes to show sometimes that when you try to conquer the fear in the wrong way, you're just escalating the fear. Think for a moment that somebody has to public speaking, or somebody has to speak in their company as a leader, or have to make a presentation. Sometimes if you try to conquer the fear, you're just actually making it worse, because you're speaking about the fear and you're trying just to all these emotions play out. Versus sometimes you have to do is, you know what, forget about where the fear is coming from. Let's focus on a totally different way, which will automatically make the fear disappear. So just a piece of advice that just reminded me as you spoke. So that's that on that part, I think it's an important part. Sometimes because as leaders, we always have fears, and as employees, we always have fears. Sometimes the employees have even more fears than the leader, because I have this idea, but I'm just new in the company. Am I, able to raise my voice in the next meeting or not?
As human beings, we have fears.
Absolutely. So I want to, we're getting long in this conversation, and I think it's a very important one. I will fail this episode if I won't ask my next question, because I prepared a lot on that. So I got to move into that piece of the conversation. Hopefully we'll close the episode with, once I'm satisfied with where we're going with that. So, okay. And I think this will tie in with everything we discussed up until this moment, which is that a lot of times you speak to a business owner, or sometimes even an employee, and you speak about growth, or you speak about goals, you speak about all of those different things, they will automatically connect themselves to their business. So you ask them, you written goals for the next year, for 2022? Of course. And could you show it to me? Yes, I could show it to you. I'm comfortable. And it pulls up some document that's an EOS document for the business, or whatever it is, a VTO for the business, or basically, an employee, what's your growth plan? Well, I'm now in this position. I'm looking to grow my skills, and automatically I might become a leader in the company. I believe, and I want to hear your opinion, I want to see how we could give value for our listeners. I believe that personal growth is somewhat connected to your business growth, but it should really live independently, which means a person has to have their own personal growth ambition that are solo, disconnected from their business, and really almost like two tracks every day as they wake up and as they're trying to say, what am I working on on my own to be a better version of myself, is different than what I'm looking to grow my business. And we see that mushiness most of the time with, you know, when we speak to leaders, as they create, they connect their business to themselves. And when I'm speaking about growth, it's my business growth. When I'm speaking about, I hit the plateau, and what they're actually losing is the effort and the time they could put in to become a better version of themselves, because they're not intentional about it. So that's a pet peeve of myself where I focus a lot. I want to hear, have you observed something similar? What's your opinion about it? And let's give some practical pointers on this topic.
Sure. Wow, that was very loaded, and it's extremely important. Extremely important. There's a lot of talk today about the work-life balance. And especially with COVID, people wanting the flexibility, wanting to work not in the office, because they feel like they're losing out on their personal potential with, spending so much time and so much energy in the business, which limits them from their personal potential. So there's a lot of talk about giving the work-life balance the right balance, so to speak. But what's happening a lot is that people are not really giving the work-life balance. They're really, what they're doing is they're separating the two. They want to be at work only when they can, because they feel that the work is a contradiction to their personal life. And therefore, they want to be in their personal life only personal and nothing to do with the business, which makes sense. But I think there's a better way. Because you said it very, very right. You said they are connected, but they need to be independent, which is a contradiction. How does that work? If they're connected, then they're not independent. And if they're independent, they're not connected. But here lies something that I don't think we're going to have time to spend too much time on. Real growth actually comes from contradictions, because the real success in life is by figuring out the balance of things in everything. Even in this podcast or episode, in the time that we're spending now, we mentioned probably two or three things that seemed like contradictions. And then the goal is to figure out how they're really not and where they are aligned and how do you work with them. And when you understand that, then you can have both independence and a connection without a contradiction. This sounds so abstract. So let's get practical. Okay. A person's real life is more than business. It's something much bigger than that. Their goal and where they want to get to and their purpose is much bigger than the business. And that's really where the focus needs to be. But they need to understand that what steps it's going to take for them to get there and what needs they're going to need, what needs they have. That's not the right word. What other things they're going to need in order that should be supported and they should be able to get there. And yes, we need to do business because we need to pay our bills so that we can get to where we want. The more aligned those two things are going to be, the easier it's going to be to have the work-life balance that we're supposed to have. And the easier it's going to be actually to treat them both independently, because the more we see it's not a contradiction, the more we're able to treat them independent. If we feel that it's a contradiction, then we feel guilty about spending time in business because it's a contradiction to what we really want. And if we're going to spend time in ourselves, we feel guilty because we are an employee or we have an obligation as a business owner to our business. We understand that it is a support of one big goal for ourselves, for our lives, for our purpose, for our potential, then we can actually work with them independently without any guilt. And it's beautiful. So let's get to practical. We need to spend a lot of time at work and for business, because that's what it takes to earn a living these days. You know, it does take time. And if it doesn't take a lot of time, then we're doing something at a higher level that requires a lot of focus, a lot of energy. Whatever it is that we need to spend, it's a lot. It's something. If we need to understand, obviously the best way to do that, something that's in line with what we like and what we want within our area of our creativity goes along with our personality type. And the more it's aligned with that, the more we feel comfortable. And actually, we can use that to learn what we want to learn for our greater picture, for our big purpose in our life. So, for example, for me, what the work that I spend, the time that I spend, and the focus that I spend in work with regards to working with independent contractors, salespeople, employees, partners, clients, competitors, with you on this podcast, is work that I want to learn and improve and elevate for my own personal life, for my own personal relationships, for the relationships with my children, for the relationship with my wife, for the relationship with myself. So I can take that and use it, and I don't see it as a contradiction. Obviously, when I'm spending time at work, I need to do what I need to do at work for that time, for where it needs to be. But it's not a contradiction, and I can work along with it. Take it on every level, and you see it as such. When we find the work that we do to be within the area that we like, we enjoy, and are learning and are growing, it is almost always a support for our personal big goals.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that a person needs to be intentional about how they go about their personal goals versus the business goals.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I believe a person needs to write first their personal goals and then their business goals. And their business goals need to support their personal goals. But then when they write their business goals, it's independent. It's all that its connection with it is that it's a support to the personal goals. But now the business goals are independent. And now that you know that that independent business goal needs the support, you won't be able to put into that business goal something that contradicts your personal goal, only something that supports it.
Mm-hmm.
Once set, it's not a contradiction. You don't feel guilty about it. You can have a beautiful work-life balance.
Beautiful. That's been great. How could people follow what you do and ultimately even some of the educational information that you're putting out there?
Well, they don't need to follow me. There's so much information out there. There's an abundance of, we're in a stage, we're in an era that there's so much information and there's so much availability. There's so much information that's available to us. There are books, there's the internet, there are people, there are speakers, there are podcasts. There's so much that we can do. If someone really, the point is not whom to follow, it's to understand what I want to learn. And that is by thinking about one introspectively in themselves. And when they find that the information is out there, I don't think that I'm saying anything genius at all. And I'm not saying this in a place from humility. I'm saying this in a place from reality. The information, most of it is not my own. It's just things that I was exposed to and that I'm working on. But I am on LinkedIn and I do try to write posts. I'm not a motivator. I'm not an inspirational person. It's not something that I really believe in. I think although it's needed, but it's very short term. It's just something that should get you to the next step, that you must get to the next step in education and understanding and learning and taking on and stretching yourself for growth. So I do write such stuff on LinkedIn daily. And that's really it. But if there's anything that I can help anyone, and if they want to be in touch with me and I can, it would be my greatest pleasure.
This has been great. For the links, resources I mentioned this episode, check out the show notes at www.ptexgroup.com/podcast. We will link to be able to follow Shlomi on LinkedIn because he does put out phenomenal feedback and good content. And sometimes it's just that one piece of content that you'll read and say, you know what, I'm going to start doing that. And therefore, my life will be changed forever. Let's close with the four rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Sure.
Number one, a book that changed your life.
Derech Hashem from the Ramchal.
That's great. Number two, a piece of advice that you got that you never forget.
Yes. Um, Father, Zichrono Livracha, show me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are.
Beautiful. Number three, anything you wish you could go back and do differently?
Many, many things, but I never spend time thinking in that direction at all. Never.
Very cool. We always say, like, at least 50% of the guests on the show will always say that no. You know, regardless, we're looking forward. We're not looking backwards. So, number four and final question. What's still on your bucket list to achieve?
Many, 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 many things. But I will tell you something that's not in a business context, since we said that the real goal is supposed to be personal.
Sure.
I do want to, again, this is Yiddish, so I don't know when, I'll say it in English first and then in Yiddish or the other way around. I do want to get to be ordained, so to speak, to get smicha in Dayunas and Choshe Mishpit. On my bucket list. So I do want to, in English, be able to learn and to achieve, to get certified, so to speak, as a judge in Jewish law.
Very cool. That's a great inspiration. Shlomi, thank you so much for joining us. I know your time is valuable. That is why, in the name of our listeners, we'll forever be grateful for sharing some of your time with us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.